Accession number 28500-1.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you.
Could you tell me your name, please?
William McHardy. Okay. M-A-C-H-A-R-D-Y. Okay.
Could we have your date of birth, please?
18-01-1920.
And can you tell me where you were born, please?
Yes, I was born in Charleston, Nick, just outside Aberdeen, on that date. And went to school at the local school, which was Cove Public School, when I was, just before I was five. And I remained at the school until I was 14.
Okay. And could you describe the area for us as well, please?
It's a farming area. Agriculture, very quiet, and on the main road from Aberdeen south to Edinburgh, right on the main road, and it was mostly farming land and farms, and that was the main thing in that area, was farming.
Okay. And can you tell us a bit about your parents as well, please?
Oh yes, my mother was born in Edinburgh. She came from Edinburgh, and she was born in 1879, I think, if I remember rightly, and she came up to Aberdeen in 2000, in 1900 she came to Edinburgh, and she settled in Edinburgh. My father was born in Kilgarth, Strathdon, in Aberdeenshire. And he met her at Charleston of Nay, and they took on this small farm, and I was born at the farm, and my sister was also born at the farm, and then we had to move further up the road, and my second brother was born there also.
And were you the eldest of the children?
Yes, it was one of the unfortunate things where at that time there was a peculiar situation in farming, and the farm was bought by people who had quite a lot of money, so we were forced to leave. We had to, which was a great pity because it was a lovely little farm, but that was one of the things that happened, that they bought it at a high price and we had to move.
Okay. Where did your family move till then?
Just about a mile up the road in a small cottage, a Rowanley cottage, and we lived there all the time I was at school, and the family at school too. Yeah.
Okay. And so how many brothers and sisters did you have?
I had one sister and a brother. Sorry, two sisters and a brother.
Okay.
So the sister was next to me, and then my brother James, and then the youngest one, Madeleine. She was born, she was much younger when she was born. That was the whole family.
Okay. And can you tell me about your parents' employment? Did they work the farm, or did they have other jobs?
Yeah, well, my father was a shepherd, and he controlled sheep at that time, which was very important because of producing mutton for the war, which was coming and so forth. And my mother, she took on the farm, and we farmed it together, but only for just that 2 or 3 years when we had to leave, which was a great pity.
How old would you have been when you left the farm?
Pardon?
How old would you have been when you left the farm?
I would have been I'd have been 3 years old.
Okay.
when we left the farm. And the following year, when I was between four and five, went to school at Cove.
Okay. And do you have any memories of the farm? You know, can you remember the farm?
Oh, yes. I remember it very well. I can tell you two stories, which are quite funny. My mother, because she was so busy in the farm, she had a young girl helping. And this girl looked after me because I was quite young. And we had a lovely lawn up to the farm door and onto the main road. And she spent her time chasing me to keep me from getting onto the road, because I always enjoyed listening to the buses coming, because at that time they made such a noise in the early 20s, such a noise. And she used to chase me and keep me from getting onto the road. And then I got into trouble in the hen house by going into the hen house, and she had to come in and take me out. So you can just imagine what happened there. And then there was one day when my father was building a stack in the corn yard, and he was up the ladder, and I, being that type of character, always on the move, I went up the steps behind him. And of course, when he discovered that I was standing behind him, which was fairly high up, he shouted to need some help, you see. And the young lady had to come and go up the ladder and take me down. So I got into trouble because of that, but it was great fun. It was great fun. And I always remember these happy moments on the farm.
And do you think it was a large farm?
No, it was a small farm. It had only been about 40 or 50 acres. But it had been well looked after before we went into it, and it was in good fettle, it was.
Mm-hmm. And you spoke about your father having sheep.
Yes.
Were there a lot of sheep?
Oh, yes. He had quite a flock, maybe about, say, 200, 300, quite a flock. And, of course, he was very seldom at home, because he was going around the countryside, moving from farm to farm with them for the feeding, so that they could be fed. And so we never saw much of him, actually, in the season when he was on the move, in the winter time especially, with the flock of sheep.
Okay.
So that was how we always remembered him. He was always away, you know, and the mother carried on herself, and even when he went to the cottage, she carried on, and they did quite a lot of work there too, because she started off a shop, and that occupied her attention, and she did a good job there in the country, because there was no shops or anything at that time. So the supply of papers, supply of milk and all sorts of things. So it was a very happy family. We were very happy, yeah.
Did you help in the shop as well?
Oh yes, I helped too, and I did the paper rounds. After school, we'd go around maybe about 4 or 5 miles on my bicycle and deliver the papers all round. And so that was one of the jobs which kept me going time that I was at school. And I also did a milk round too at the local farm in the early morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, and delivering milk early on in the morning before I went to school. So I've always been active, and I'm glad I was like that, because we've got quite a lot of fun, you know, being up early in the morning and going to school, coming back after school, delivering the papers. And so it was quite a busy day, actually. It was. I enjoyed it.
And was this all in the Cove area?
It's all in the Cove area, yes.
Okay. And were you tired when you got to school?
Sometimes, yes, sometimes. In the winter time, especially, in the bad mornings with snow and icy roads and that, and probably couldn't cycle, you had to walk. And that was more tiring. But in summertime, it was good. It was good fun in the summertime, but quite difficult in the winter time, it was.
Mm-hmm. Can you remember your bicycle?
Oh, yes.
Can you describe it to us?
The school.
Well, your bicycle or your school.
Oh, the bicycle, yes. Well, I couldn't have done much without the bicycle, you know, having the large round of papers in the whole area. And so it was a big help. But then there came the time in the winter time with the snow and the conditions which you had then compared to now. And it was always difficult in the winter time.
And can you remember school as well?
Yes. Oh, it was a lovely school. The headmaster, he was a very strong disciplinarian, and he was a former sergeant major in the Seaforth Highlanders in the First World War. And the teachers, Miss Wishart, and Miss Crombie was the primary teacher, Miss Wishart and Miss Watson, and were all wonderful teachers, and a very happy school. Very happy indeed. Yep.
And was it a big school?
No, it wasn't. It been about all together, it would have been about maybe 80 pupils, you know, in the primary and the secondary and in the headmaster's room too. About 80 altogether, yeah.
Okay.
But a very happy school.
Did you enjoy it?
Oh, I did. And it's a funny thing, he was the one that started me off in my military career because he believed that you should always be active. And he started cricket. I don't know how he did that being a Scot, but he started cricket, football, and with rugby, and that went on the whole time. And also, he started taking drill. And that was my start of the army,
okay.
Drilling, yes. And had to go and do right marker and line up the rest and do drill left, right. And I never thought for a minute that was the beginning, that was the start that set me off on the army road.
And how old would you have been when he started you on drill?
Well, I was 12, 13 and 14 when I left. About 3 years we were doing this drill.
Okay. And could you describe it to us?
Yeah, well, it was his form of PT. You see, yeah, that was how he saw it. And we should be able to drill and work together as a team. I could see his purpose afterwards, you know, what he was trying to do. And he did that very successfully. He did, yes. But amazing man, and a great help to me too, because before the outbreak of war, 1936, that was 3 years before the war broke out, he came to me once and said, "Now look, Willie, there's going to be a war. It's coming, and the sooner we realise it, the better." He said, "So you must be prepared for war. It's coming." And I thought that was good to give a warning, you know, to it. And then when he brought in his drill, I could just remember, well, when I did go into the army, I found the drill quite easy, having been already trained in that. So it was a good start. But he was a wonderful, wonderful tutor, wonderful teacher, and a very happy school.
And did you have time for any of the other activities there, like the rugby or the cricket or the football?
Oh, yes. Two or three times a week we had the cricket or football, and he always ensured that we did that. The whole thing, I could see the purpose of it afterwards. It was to keep us everybody active, to keep doing something. And I think that was why we were all so happy, because we were always on the move. We never got time to sit about and mope or carry on. We had to pay attention and take part in whatever he laid on, and that was good.
And how old were you when you left school?
14. Okay. Now, that was one of the beginnings of the most unfortunate things in my life. I had already been ducks 3 years at the school, and I had passed my examinations for Mackie Academy in St Haven, but my father became ill, and I had to take on the looking after, helping with the sheep and so forth. So I missed out on the academy, which was a great mistake, and a great. I was really sorry that I missed that, because I would have enjoyed going to academy, but that was just how it happened.
So what did you do when you left school?
Well, helping my father for 2 years before he was able to come back to work again, and then I went up to my uncle's farms in Dawnside, in Kirgarth, and I worked there, but I wasn't happy. No, I wasn't happy. But in 1938, I decided that I wanted to change, and I applied to Huntley Lodge Estate in Huntley as an underkeeper on the estate, and three of us had to appear, and I was picked out of the three to take on the job. And I was there from 38 to 39, and then war came, and I left and enlisted in the Gordon Highlanders in March 1940.
Can you explain, please, the type of work that an underkeeper would do? Can you explain your...
Yes. To me, it was interesting because you were dealing with the keeping down of rabbits and the vermin, all sorts of vermin, and the hoodie crows and all that kind of thing that were doing damage, you know, at lambing time, especially at lambing time, and also the grouse mower, where they were the grouse shooting, and then I finished up with the stalking of the deer. So I learned a lot from that, and of course from that also came the being a good shot, having been trained to the rifle and being a good shot. So when I went into the army, of course, I didn't need to be taught how to fire a rifle or how to shoot. So it all worked in a pattern, and it all helped me in the army. And that was why I reckon I went into the army and enjoyed it so much, because I immediately took to the discipline and to the drill and to the shooting and all the things that went on. And so therefore, when you look back, you see how each little facet in life fitted in and produced to me the being able to go into the army and enjoy it. And on the day that I enlisted at Gorton Barracks, the chap in front of me in the queue, he was an understudy bank manager, and the one behind me was from a tinker family in Caithness. So I just showed you the army had together all the different people from all the different areas, and that was good because it was a mix, with all different kinds of people and the different ways that they lived and so forth, and you learned a tremendous lot from that. And I think it bonded people much more together too, because no one was worried whether where you came from or what you were or what you did. It was to work together and to do a good job of work. So it all worked out.
And whilst you were on the Huntley Lodge estate, who was it that taught you how to use the rifle?
Well, of course, I was taught the rifle before I went to the estate on the farm, because I was shooting deer then, so therefore I didn't need to be taught that. But we got quite a lot of shooting at the time of the stag hunting and so forth, and also the shooting with the gun and on the moors at the grouse season. And that was the two main seasons, the grouse and the red deer.
And why did you use the gun on the farm? Why would you have used the rifle on the farm?
Well, for the rabbits and the roe deer, you know, destroying the crops and that. So that you had to protect. You had to protect the farm either by scaring them off or shooting them or whatever it was to keep them off. Because at that time, due, I believe, to the fact that in the First World War, a tremendous amount of keepers were taken away and were killed, and therefore the vermin ran riot. So all the numbers of deer and rabbits and everything else grew tremendously because there weren't keepers to keep them culled. So that was one of the main reasons that happened. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And why did you decide to leave the Huntley Lodge estate? Why did you decide to leave?
Well, that was quite easy to answer, because Lady Davidson, who owned the estate, I got on very well with her. She was an extremely nice lady. And she had two sons. One, he'd been a captain in the 6th Battalion in the First World War. And the second one was in the Royal Engineers. And I had to work with them, because when they came on holidays and on leave and so forth, fishing on the river, shooting the grouse, and also the shooting of the deer. And I was always with them, you know, as the underkeeper and looking after them. So that's when I first encountered the army bit of it, with the first son, who was in the 6th Gordons in the First World War, and then meeting the other son, who was in the Royal Engineers. And so it made me turn and think. Of course, 1938, I began to think, well, the headmaster said the war was coming, so better to be prepared and do something. So that was why I decided. Lady Davidson was very keen to let me go. She said, thought I was too young and I should stay on a while. I said, no, I said, I want to go. So she didn't stop me. She didn't stop me. So I went off and joined the army then. And of course it was my life for a few years after that.
Can you remember the date that you joined the Gordon Highlanders?
Yeah, 18th of March, 1940.
And when you say that you joined the army in 1938, where about did you join?
In 38. I was on the estate with Lady Davidson, but I went down to the TA battalion in Huntley, which was 6 Gordons. I went down there and they offered my services, and I was rejected. Because at that time you had to get the permission of the owner of the estate. She had to give permission, and she didn't. You see, so I couldn't join. I thought I would have loved joining then, but it maybe worked out all right, because had I joined then, I would have been involved in France in 1940, and maybe captured, as I would have been in the 51st Highland Division, and that would have been my career finished. So she probably did me a power of good by refusing to allow me to join in 38. But she did let me go in 39 when I was ready to go to join then, she did. But she thought I was too young. But she was a dear soul, she was.
And how did you feel when they rejected your offer of joining the TAs? How did you feel?
Oh, I was disappointed, you see, but there's nothing I could do about it. That was just that was a law at the time. So, but the Sergeant Major in Huntley was very good. He said, do come back again and see, you might get her to change her mind, you see. So I did go back and I watched them drilling and so forth, and I thought, oh, well, I probably could do quite well here. So I didn't give up until 40 when I went forward and joined them.
Okay. Can you describe when you joined the Gordons for us, please? Can you describe, when you did join the Gordons?
Oh, yeah. The first obstacle was my mother. She wasn't too happy, which is natural, but I said, oh no, I said, but I'm going to join anyhow and do my bit along with the rest of the chaps. And being in the spring, springtime, it was quite good, and the summer was ahead of us too, but I was only there 3 weeks when I was accepted as an instructor, which I thought was quite good, to be taken in to do that so soon. But anyhow, I became an instructor and instructed at Gordon Barracks right up to 1942.
And can you explain to us, when you joined the army, can you tell us when you actually joined the army?
On the 18th of March, 1940. I went in and joined along with that queue with different people, and that was the start of joining at Gordon Barracks. And of course, I was committed to Gordon Barracks after that. But having been accepted to train and instruct, it was the very thing that I needed, because I wanted the confidence to be able to teach and drill and shoot and everything else too. So it was a great help to me, actually, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. But of course, I knew that the day would come when I would have to go off somewhere, and the whole life would change. And that came about in 1942, when in October 1942, I had to go to OCNU to be commissioned.
Okay. Can we go back to the TAs again? Can you tell me when you joined the TAs? The Territorial Army. Can you tell me when you joined that?
Oh, that was 1938. That was at Huntley, yes. I went down to drill hall and they saw the Sergeant Major and they joined, and he said, have you got permission? And I said, no, I haven't got permission. He said, oh, well, he said, you go back to Lady Davidson and ask permission, and she gives you her permission, then come back to me and we'll take you on, because we are desperate to get people in anyhow. But she wouldn't give permission, so I wasn't able to get in then.
Did you get in the following year? Did she give her permission in 1939?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. So I was another year and more before she actually gave me permission. But she wasn't happy, you know. But although she did, so I was able to leave then and go and join.
Okay. But this is still the Territorial Army, is it, in 1939?
Yes, it was the Territorial Army. Uh-huh. And as I couldn't join the TA without a permission, so I decided that I would join the regular army. And that was why I went in and enlisted in Gordon Barracks in March 1940.
And so were you actually in the TAs in 1939 when she did give her permission?
No, I didn't, no. I left and then decided to go and join, but join at Gordon Barracks rather than go to the TA. And I'm glad I did, because it gave me the more confidence and being able to train and instruct all the recruits that are coming in. We were getting at that time about 1,000 recruits every month had to be trained, so it was a continuous business of training.
Part 2, Mr. McHardy. Can you remember when you actually enlisted? You know, the actual day of your enlistment.
Yes, it was a very pleasant day in the springtime, on the 18th of March, 1940. And I went to Gordon Barracks through the big gates. And there was a queue standing in front of the guard room, so I joined the queue. And the chap in front of me was a big, grey, big, tall fella. And he'd been training to be an assistant bank manager. And the chap behind me, who had red hair and rather rough looking, was of a tinker family down from Caithness. And I thought, well, we're certainly in the midst of quite a collection of people here. And of course you saw it right away once you were put into a platoon and 30 people all together, and you saw each one, you saw the ones that came from the farms, and you saw the ones that came from the town, and so forth. And it was a wonderful experience. And to know that you are going to be mixing with all these different sorts of people, and working together, training together, and it was good. I enjoyed it. Thoroughly enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm. And was it a large queue?
Oh, it was, yes. So that day there must have been at least 40 or 50 people coming up to join, yes. And I began to think, you know, all these people queuing up there, I wonder what it's going to be like once we do get in and get sorted out. But, oh, there was no problem. We were fitted out in no time, put into a platoon, and my platoon officer was a sergeant major, and all he had helping him was a lance corporal. And that gives you an idea how short we were of instructors at that time. And that would probably help me, because I was taken on as an instructor within 3 weeks and never looked back after that.
So they were able to take you right into the army that day, weren't
they? Oh, yes. Oh, I was in and I couldn't get out. Oh, no. I had signed the paper and that was it, yes. So, but I'm glad I did.
And
it all worked out at the end of the day, yes, it did.
And did you get any kit that day?
Oh, yes, so we were kitted out that same day. Medical, of course, with medical inspection, and then to be kitted out, and the inoculations, injections, and you got a rest after that.